And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that your blessing would be on your word this morning. I pray that you would bless this sermon. Lord, bless me as I present your word this morning. Help my words to not be my own, but yours as you speak through me. I pray that you would anoint the heart of each person here, that they would be open to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I recently read about an interesting scientific experiment that was conducted a while back. A group of scientists took some rats, and they put them in a tank of water that had smooth sides so that the rats could not rest and they could not escape from this tank. And they studied them to see how long these rats could survive before they drowned. The average time was 17 minutes. Then they repeated the experiment, but this time they rescued the rats just before the point of drowning. They fed them. They let them play for a few days in their cages, and then they repeated the experiment again. The second time around, the average time of survival for the rats increased from 17 minutes to 36 hours. The scientists explained the phenomenon by pointing out that the second time around, those rats had something that they didn't have the first time, and that was hope. They believed that they could survive because they had received a helping hand before. In our passage this morning, Peter went through kind of a similar faith-building experience. And I want to take a look at Peter kind of in depth for a little bit here this morning. Peter was a guy, I don't know, he's probably one of my more favorite disciples. He's kind of got a big heart. He throws himself into things with all his heart. Sometimes I don't think he stopped to really think about what he was doing, but he decided when he was going to do something, he was going to do it with all his heart. And he was a guy that was always willing to take steps of faith for Jesus. One day, Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee when he noticed two fishermen casting their nets into the sea. Upon seeing them, Jesus commanded them, Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It says that the two men immediately left their nets and they followed Jesus. One of those two men was Simon Peter. I want you to imagine that first step of faith that he takes. A man that he probably knows very little about, comes along and asks him to leave his job and his profession to follow him and be his disciple. And Peter does, immediately drops his net to follow Jesus. That first step of faith to me is pretty remarkable. And that step of faith is only the beginning, because he takes another step of faith that we read about in our passage, not in the calm Sea of Galilee, but right into a storm. Now Peter had been with Jesus for quite a while. He'd seen Jesus perform many miracles. He'd seen Jesus heal people with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. He'd seen Jesus cast demons out of people. He'd seen Jesus provide food for thousands of people. He'd even seen Jesus' power over nature before when Jesus calmed the storm. But in this morning's passage, Peter learns a truth that will bring him one step closer to the greatest truth of all. Because one day, Jesus is going to look at Peter and he's going to ask Peter a question. He's going to say, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter will reply, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to back up a little bit before the story this morning, so you kind of have an idea of what's taking place, why the disciples are out there on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night to begin with. Well, John the Baptist had just recently been murdered by Herod, and the news had just reached Jesus and his disciples. And of course, Jesus is very saddened to hear the news because John was his cousin and he loved John. And so Jesus wanted to get away to be alone for a while, to mourn. And so he boards a ship and he goes across the Sea of Galilee into the desert. But the Bible says that multitudes of people follow him because they were sick and they believed that he could heal them. And Jesus, when he saw them, was moved with compassion, and so he healed them. What a Savior, huh? Even though he had sorrow in his own heart, he put the needs of people first when he saw their needs, and he took compassion on them, and he ministered to them, and he healed them. By this time, it had started to get dark, and so the disciples asked Jesus to send the people away. But Jesus said that they should feed them first. Then you know the story. All they could find was 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And Jesus performed yet another miracle with a small amount of food. And he fed the thousands of people. So after he fed the multitudes, he sent his disciples away. He dismissed the crowd. And he went into the mountains to finally pray alone. But Jesus didn't just send his disciples away. He told them to cross back over the Sea of Galilee. Now, this sea was known for the violent storms that would arise suddenly. Even to this day, fishermen in Israel will tell you, you don't go out on the Sea of Galilee at night because it can be calm 1 minute and violent storms the next. Well, the disciples are halfway across the sea in the middle of the night when they were caught in one of these horrible storms. And Jesus went out walking on the water to his disciples. At first, the disciples were terrified because they thought it must be a ghost. I can just imagine, you know, they are positive they're going to die. This storm is really bad. They are going to die. And to make matters worse, here they see the Spirit coming to claim their souls when they die. And so they are scared. But of course, it wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus, and he reveals himself to his disciples. And Peter says to Jesus, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walk to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. He began walking on top of the water to Jesus. The wind was howling and the waves were high, and for one brief moment he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. But he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and he caught Peter and pulled him up. Like I said, this is one of the most famous stories in the Bible, and usually Peter gets a lot of criticism. I've heard a lot of sermons where people kind of bash Peter for his lack of faith. Chuck Swindoll tells a story about a farmer who wanted to impress his hunting buddies. To impress them, he bought the most expensive, the smartest hunting dog he could find. He trained this dog to do things that no other dog could do. Impossible feats that would surely amaze anyone. Then he invited his neighbors to go duck hunting with him. After a long, patient wait in the boat, a group of ducks flew over and the hunters were able to make several hits. Several ducks fell into the water. Go get 'em, boy, yelled the proud owner to his magnificent dog. That dog leaped out of the boat, walked across the water, picked up a duck, and returned it to the boat. As soon as he dropped that duck off in the boat, he trotted back across the water, grabbed another duck, and returned it to the boat. The owner beamed with pride as his wonderful dog walked across the water and retrieved each of the birds one by one. Unable to resist the opportunity to brag, he asked his fellow hunters, Do you notice anything unusual about my dog? Yeah, one of the guys finally said. Come to think of it, I do. That silly dog, he doesn't know how to swim, does he? I think a lot of people kind of give Peter that same reaction. Instead of recognizing that he was the only disciple that had the faith to step out of the boat, he's criticized for his lack of faith. But there's one important thing about this story. Peter is drawing closer to Jesus as 11 other wimps sit fearfully in the safety of the boat. I want to look at 3 points to this story this morning. There's 3 different things that we can learn. First of all, I want to look at the step of faith. The step of faith. As we look at Peter's step of faith, it's important to note the circumstances in which he made this important step. Peter is in a storm. Now, storms can be frightening. I remember when we lived in South Dakota, the first time I ever experienced a tornado. I was a little kid, and we were scared. We hid in the basement all night long until that tornado was over. Storms can be frightening. And like the disciples in our text, sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of storms. Maybe not storms of thunder and lightning, but other storms like trials and difficulty. There might be some of you that are here today that are facing storms, economic crisis, problems with relationships, the loss of your job, physical illness, doubts about your faith, or maybe even unforgiveness. Storms come in all different shapes and sizes, and there are many different storms that we face. And we all experience storms in life. Anyone who tells you that Christianity is smooth sailing on calm waters either hasn't been a Christian very long, or they don't fully understand the truth of God's working in our lives. While it's true that sometimes God does calm the storms that are in our lives, I believe more often God calms us and gives us grace to walk through the storms. I want to make it very obvious and very clear this morning that it's Jesus' fault that his disciples are out there in this storm. According to Matthew and also in Mark, it says Jesus constrained, or he made his disciples get into the ship. In other words, he ordered them to take the ship back across the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are out there in this storm because Jesus ordered them to be out there. Now, I believe that Jesus, the master of the wind and the waves, knew that that storm was coming. And I believe he knew that his disciples were going to be caught right in the middle of that storm. So the disciples were in this predicament because they were obeying Jesus. This morning, I want you to know that when the Lord sends you into a storm, there is a purpose. When God sends you into a storm, there is a purpose. Sometimes the Lord's purpose is correction. An illustration of that would be Jonah. Remember, God came to Jonah and he told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach a message of repentance. Tell those people to repent or I will destroy the city and all the people. Well, Jonah, he didn't want those people to repent. He didn't want God to forgive them and spare the city. He wanted God to destroy them because he thought they deserved that punishment. They were terrible, wicked, evil people, and they deserved punishment. So what did he do? He got on board a ship and he went the opposite way, as fast as he could. And what happened? The ship was caught in a terrible storm. And after some investigation, the crew realized that it was Jonah's fault, that God was punishing them for his disobedience. So he volunteered, he got thrown overboard, swallowed by a whale, and the whale took him right where he was supposed to go. Sometimes God causes storms to come into our life for correction. Other times, the Lord's purpose is spiritual growth. Sometimes I believe God uses storms to help us grow and mature in our spiritual walk with Jesus and to help our faith and obedience to grow. Remember what Paul said in Romans 5, 3 and 4, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." And also James 1, 2 through 5 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." These verses are talking about how we should be joyful when we face trials and temptations and difficulties. Why? Because trials help us to grow. They build patience in us. They build character in us, and experience and hope and wisdom and all these things, all this, these character qualities that we can gain when we respond to storms correctly. We would not grow without trials. And so that's why God allows them into our lives to help us to grow. Now, I believe that the whole purpose of this storm was to help the disciples grow in their faith of Jesus. For the disciples, this was not a corrective storm because they were doing what Jesus told them to. They were being obedient. But they had to learn to trust Jesus even when he was not physically present with them. Peter's step is one of great faith and of great expectations. I love the quote by William Carey. He said, "Expect great things of God and attempt great things for God." That's a good motto to live your life by. Expect God to do great things, but attempt to do great things for God. Well, Peter certainly did that. You know, most of us are satisfied with the little things from God, but not Peter. He wanted to do something great. Out of the 12, only Peter asked to join Jesus in walking on the water. And on that simple command, come, was the only thing that he had to base his faith on. Relying on Jesus' promise, he climbed out of the boat, he stepped on the water, and he walked across the sea toward the Lord. He expected something great for Jesus, but that began with an attempt to do something great for Jesus. Also, Peter wanted to be with Jesus regardless of the risk, and he knew that whatever God commands of us, he empowers us to do. Let me ask you this morning, is it humanly possible to walk on water? No. Could Peter have walked on the water by himself? No. But God had asked him to. And whatever God asks us to do, he gives us the power to do. This morning, has God asked you to do something for him? Has God maybe asked you to serve him in a specific way? I want you to know that God's not going to ask you to do something and then expect you to go out there on your own and attempt to do it. He will give you the power to accomplish it, and he will help you carry out your task. If God has asked you to step out of the boat and attempt something great for him, he will give you the power that you need. Also, Peter realized that it is better to be with Jesus without a boat than it is to be in a boat without Jesus. Peter knew that it was better to be out there on that sea with the waves swelling, the lightning flashing, the wind howling, the thunder cracking, and the boat sinking than to be in that boat without Jesus. This morning I wonder, are you afraid to step out of your boat, your comfort zone? A lot of times we agree to do something for God as long as we're comfortable with it, if it's something that we feel comfortable doing. But if it's something outside of our comfort zone, we usually tell God to forget it and find someone else. I don't like necessarily speaking in front of people. It's not my comfort zone. But I know that God has placed a call in my life to preach. And so at least I'm trying to step out in faith. We don't like taking chances. We don't like taking risks. We don't like hurling ourselves right into danger and into storms. But I want you to know this morning that if Jesus is there, then there's really no safer place for us to be. Number three, faith cannot be called true faith unless it is accompanied by action and by obedience. Those 12 disciples in the boat, they could have talked all day about how much faith they had in Jesus. They had all seen Jesus do these great miracles, and they could have talked and talked about how much faith they had in Jesus. But only one of them put that faith into action, and he obeyed Jesus' command to come, and he stepped out in faith. Now, I wonder why the other disciples, when they saw Peter walking on the water, why didn't they ask to come too? I think I would have. Hey, he's going to Jesus. I'm going to go with. James tells us that faith without works is dead. Faith has to be accompanied by action and by obedience. And Peter began well. He got out of the boat. He was walking across the water to Jesus, but then he started to sink. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. That brings us to point number two, eyes on Jesus. It says, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. See, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus for just one moment. He looked at his circumstances around him, the water, the wind, the waves, the storm. And when he did that, he began to fear. And when the fear set in, he began to doubt, and his doubt caused him to start to sink. As soon as the storm became the focus of Peter's attention, it came between him and Jesus, and he started to sink. The difference between walking on water and sinking in despair is in our eyes. The difference between walking on water and sinking in despair is in our eyes. Can I ask you this morning, what are you looking at? Where's your eyes focused on? When we keep our eyes on Jesus, the master of the winds and the waves, we're able to do great things for God. We're able to walk on water. If our desire is on drawing near to him, then nothing can stand in our way. But when we start to focus on our circumstances, at our situation and at the storms in our life that causes us to lose faith, and lost faith can cause us to sink. What we focus on in life will either feed our faith or feed our fear. Point number two. What we focus on in life will either feed our faith or feed our fear. If your eyes are focused on Jesus and all his power and might, you will see that he is more powerful than the storms that you face, and your fears will be calmed, and you won't be afraid. But if your eyes are not focused on Jesus, and you're focused on your storms and the waves and the winds, you're going to see their power, and you're going to see that that power is overwhelming to you and your power, and you'll start to fear. So what will it be for you this morning? What are your eyes focused on? Peter wanted to be with Jesus, but to do so, he had to keep his eyes fixed on him, regardless of what was going on around him. Today, some of you here today are probably attempting to walk as Jesus walked, and maybe in some very difficult situations. Can I encourage you this morning that if you focus on Jesus and his power, and just on obeying him, you can do great things for him. But as soon as you take your eyes off of him, you will begin to sink. But I want to encourage you this morning that when that happens, because we don't always keep our eyes on Jesus, sometimes we take our eyes off of him. And when that happens and when you begin to sink, you are not lost, because Jesus will reach out a helping hand. Now we can talk about how Jesus criticized Peter's lack of faith, but I think the greatest element in that story is that Jesus reached out his hand and he caught Peter and he lifted him up. Jesus doesn't simply stand there and point a finger in rebuke. He doesn't overlook Peter's doubt, but he does do something about it. At the crucial moment, the one who understands human weakness completely immediately stretched out his hand and he caught Peter, preventing him from sinking further. I want you to notice that it says that Jesus immediately extended his hand and took hold of Peter. When you get into trouble and you cry out to Jesus, all you need to do is say a quick prayer, and his hand is there immediately. And I also think it's pretty neat that it says that Jesus took hold of Peter. Not that Jesus held out his hand and Peter grabbed Jesus, but Jesus grabbed Peter and he lifted him up. And then Jesus asked Peter about his doubt. He says, "Why did you doubt?" Well, what is this doubt? Well, in James chapter 1, it says that a person who doubts is a double-minded man. See, Peter's heart had been divided into two. On one hand, he trusted God enough to step out of the boat and to walk on water. But on the other hand, when he saw the storm and he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to fear. And he began to fear for his life. And I believe he doubted that Christ would save him. Now, I don't believe that Jesus was criticizing Peter's wave-walking faith, because obviously Peter had enough faith to obey Jesus and walk on the water. I think what Jesus was saying is, "Peter, after I brought you out here on the water, why did you doubt that I wouldn't save you when you began to falter? You lost sight of me, but that doesn't mean that I lost sight of you or that I'm unable to lift you up." I don't think that Jesus wanted Peter to stay in the boat. If we believe that, then we should believe that we should stay in the boat until we're sure that we would never take our eyes off of Jesus, which could mean that we'd stay in the boat forever. What God wants and what this world desperately needs is more people willing to get out of the boat and walk on spiritual water when Jesus says, "Come." Here's the thing. Jesus knows us. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we're imperfect. And he knows that we're likely to take our eyes off of him from time to time and glance at the threatening waves. The important thing with God is that we obediently try, not that we don't sink from time to time. I don't believe for a second that Jesus wants us to be like the 11 other disciples, cowering in the boat, safe, but not drawing nearer to Christ. Too often we want just enough faith to save us. and to get us by, but not so much faith that we have to step out of our comfort zone into the raging storms. I believe Jesus wants us to draw near to Him, knowing full well that we are going to sink from time to time when we don't stay focused on Him. And when we do start to falter and sink, Jesus wants us to remember that His rescuing hand is only a quick prayer away. Number two of the body of Christ is the hand of Christ today. Today, I believe that the body of Christ is to be the helping hand of Jesus to the world. When we see other people struggling in the waves, buffeted by storms, and sinking in despair, we need to reach out a hand and help them. Too often we're so quick to point out other people's faults and their lack of faith. Well, that person should have known better. That person has been a Christian long enough, they should have known better. And rather than reach out a helping hand and help them, most people seem content to point a finger in rebuke instead. I'm pretty sure that Peter was grateful that Jesus didn't have that same attitude towards him. Stand there and point at him as he's sinking. No, Jesus caught him first, and then he did something about Peter's problem. Our mission as the church is not to be filled with judgment, but to walk the path of Christ. We need to reach out when a follower is sinking. We need to be the hope where there is despair. We need to be the strength where there is no faith. And we need to be the love amidst all the hatred in this world. Our mission is to continue Jesus' mission that He left to us and to reach out and help each other through the storms of life. Two long-standing church members were in a boat fishing with a brand new Christian. Now, fishing is a great time for conversation, unless you're with people that want you to be quiet. But these guys were talking about their faith and devotion to God. As they were discussing their faith, one of the church members' hat blew into the water. He calmly stood up, stepped out of the boat, seemingly walked across the water and picked up his hat and returned to the boat. The new Christian was amazed at how this Christian could seemingly walk on water. And as he was pondering this, the other church member's hat blew into the water. He also very calmly stepped out of the boat and walked across the water, picked up his hat and returned to the boat. The new Christian was overwhelmed at how spiritual these guys must be to walk on the water as they did. So he thought to himself, if these guys can do it, so can I. And he helped his hat blow off into the water. He also very calmly stepped out of the boat, and he sank beneath the surface. As he fought his way back to the surface, gasping for breath, the two church members turned to each other and they said, I think we should have told him about that sandbar. You know, there's a lot of people that are struggling with their faith, maybe even in our own church. There's a lot of people trying to walk like Jesus, but they're sinking. And they need some of you to be willing to step in and show them where the sandbar is to a closer walk with Jesus. Are you willing to be a helping hand this morning? And lastly here, I want to look at the results of Peter's step of faith. It says, all of them worshipped and said Jesus, and they said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. When they all got back in the boat, that's the proclamation that the disciples made. The next day, Peter spoke for all of the disciples, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did Peter know that for sure? How was he so confident of who Jesus was? I believe it was that experience the day before that he took in the storm with Jesus to bring him to that knowledge and that faith. In closing, I just want to close with one more story. It came across. I heard about a guy out in Texas who invited a bunch of bachelors to his ranch for a barbecue. And he got all the guys around in one place, and there was a little cliff. And at the bottom of that little cliff, there was this lake. And he told the guys, I want you to look over this edge at my little lake on my ranch. I have filled this lake with crocodiles and alligators. If there is anyone here that's willing to walk across this lake and across the crocodiles and the alligators and go from this end to the other end and come out alive, I'll give you one of three things. I'll either give you a 500-acre ranch, I'll give you $1 million in cash, or the hand of my daughter in marriage, whichever one you want. He had no sooner finished his sentence when, splash, some guy jumped into that lake. He looked over there, and there was this guy that didn't even take his shoes off. He still had a three-piece suit on, and he was running across those gators and crocs as fast as humanly possible. Water was flying everywhere, crocodiles were snapping, and alligators were chasing him, and this guy was going through it all. Amazingly, he made it all the way out to the other end. He climbed out soaking wet, but without a scratch on him. He was breathing real deeply and trying to catch his breath when the rich Texan ran up to him, and this is what he said. Son, I meant this as a practical joke. I didn't really mean for anybody to swim across the lake, but you did it, and I'm as good as my word. So which one of the three things do you want? Do you want the 500-acre ranch? Do you want the $1 million in cash? Or do you want my daughter's hand in marriage? The young man looked at the rich Texan and he said, Sir, I don't want any of those things. I just want to get my hands on the guy that pushed me in. This morning, I want to give you a little nudge. I want to give you a little push. If you see someone that's sinking in their faith, don't stand there and point your finger. Extend a hand to help lift them up. Reach out to them in love. Jesus has called us all to walk in his footsteps and to step out of the boat and to follow him, to draw close to him and to walk as he walks. Are you content to just sit in the boat and let other people take the steps of faith? If you are, I want to give you a push. You may say, well, there's a storm out there. Yeah, that's true. There is a storm out there. There might even be a few crocodiles and alligators too. But maybe we've stayed in the boat too long. And maybe you're struggling with the oars, trying to go places for God, when really all he wants is for you to step out in faith and draw near to him. Don't be content with just enough faith to be safe. Step out and draw near to Jesus, focusing on him and not the circumstances and the storms. And when you do start to sink, remember that he wants to reach out his hand and lift you up. And he expects you to do the same thing when you see someone else faltering. So are you facing a storm this morning? If you are, you need to decide what the purpose of that storm is. Is it a storm of correction? Is there something God is trying to get out of your life, or you're heading a direction and God wants you to turn? If it is, would you correct the things that need to be corrected? Don't leave here this morning still heading the wrong direction. Take care of what God wants you to take care of. Correct the things that need correcting and get things right with God. Or is it a storm of testing to help you grow spiritually? If it is, remember these important lessons. Is God asking you to take a step of faith that you are unsure of? Is he asking you to step out of your comfort zone? Remember that whatever God asks or commands you to do, he will give you the power to accomplish it. And it is better to be with Jesus in the storm than it is to be in the boat without him. Number two, keep your eyes on Jesus. The difference between walking in water and sinking in despair is in your eyes. What your eyes are focused on will either feed your faith or feed your fear. And third, remember the helping hand. Jesus is always there to catch you when you fall. All you need to do is call out to him and he will save you. And I wonder this morning, will you be willing to be a helping hand to others when they struggle in their faith? Don't just sit in the boat and watch other people sink. Let's continue Jesus' mission that he left to us and help others as they face the storms of life as well. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? If we could have the worship team come. Maybe we could sing Love Lifted Me, the hymn. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I pray a specific prayer this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us your eyes so that we could see the lost, the hurt, and the people that are sinking in despair. Lord, give us your eyes so that we could notice them and not pass them by and just be focused on our life and ourselves. Give us your eyes this morning, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would give us your heart. Lord, that we would take compassion on those around us. Lord, even when we have needs ourselves, that we would not just be so focused on our own needs, but that we would be like you, that when you saw the multitudes, you had compassion on them. I pray that you would help us to have a heart of compassion and a heart of love to those around us. And also, Jesus, I pray that you would give us your hands, that we could reach out a helping hand and not stand in the boat or stand safely to the side and point fingers in rebuke and comment on their lack of faith. Give us your hands, Lord Jesus, so that we can reach out to them and lift them up and lift them to their feet. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's going through storms, help this message to help them this morning, Lord. Help them to remember that you're just a quick prayer away and your helping hand is always there. In Jesus' name, amen.